This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for going and thanks for being here this afternoon. There we go. Monday afternoon with a lot going on in the Umpqua Valley. Today, we want to focus on peace at home with the Executive Director, Melanie Premer, and Board Member Jordan Jungworth. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, Kyle.
So I guess, Melanie, at the front end, not everybody's always been around forever. Just remind people about how long Peace at Home has been here and how long you've been leading this organization.
Yeah, well, Peace at Home has been around almost as long as me. So we were established in 1978 by a group of women who were looking to provide support to people experiencing domestic violence and mitigating the impacts of that violence on children.
And how did you get involved in this whole area?
Yeah, so I am a mental health professional by training and was working with a crisis team in Washington out of Tacoma. And when this position came available, it felt like a really great fit for me in my work experience and career. And I really wanted to be back in Douglas County. And so here I am. I was really lucky to have the board of directors choose me.
And Jordan, how long have you been on the board?
I've been on the board for about 7 years. And over the last year, I've stepped into the board chair position. Prior to that, I was a volunteer advocate on the team and went through that training back when I was an AmeriCorps member in the community.
And what led you to get interested in serving as a board member?
Yeah, you know, healthy relationships and domestic violence and dynamics of power and control have kind of permeated different areas of my life throughout my childhood into adulthood. And volunteering with Peace at Home was an opportunity for me to take a proactive step in being part of the great work that advocates lead here in our community. And as I kind of grew up in my leadership here in the Roseburg area, so as my leadership at Peace at Home. So it's been a joy to sort of change and shift how I've engaged with the organization in this work.
Melody, give people kind of an overview of the services you provide.
Yeah, so we have a 24-hour crisis line, so people can call us to access services either via phone or drop in at our public office location on Douglas during business hours. And so we have people answering the phone 24/7, like I mentioned, and they can also access our legal advocacy team, sexual assault response services, or services from our sexual assault response team. We also have a shelter, which maybe we'll talk about a little bit later, transitional housing. And we also have some community-based advocates, so advocates that are co-located or housed at DHS, Umpqua Community College, and South River, as well as law enforcement agencies.
Now, you have all this work going on. How is it funded?
So we're funded in many different ways. I think the thing that was really interesting to me when I was hired as the executive director 11 years ago was that some of our government funding is actually not from the taxpayer. We also receive some government funding that come from fines and fees. So for example, the marriage license tax, when you go buy your marriage license, those funds come back to domestic violence agencies in their community. There's also the Victims of Crimes Act, and so when there are federal crimes committed and there's fines, those funds also come back to domestic violence agencies. We do receive some other federal and state funding, and state funding that comes out of legislative sessions, so sometimes we have special funding available to us. But we also receive grants from private foundations, and we do depend on donations from our local community. And people being generous and also giving in-kind services and other gifts like donations of new products and clothing.
So talk about your current financial situation.
Yeah, so while we have some steady funding from the state and federal government and some from some of our private foundations. We have seen a deficit this year, which we haven't seen that in over a decade. And that deficit is due to some shifts in the way that the state is prioritizing homelessness. So one of our biggest programs, which is our shelter and housing program, it's about $500,000 a year to run operationally. And that's because we have staffing 24/7 and we purchased a hotel. So we have 20 rooms available and we provide a very comfortable space for people as they're healing. And that includes having access to a cell phone and, you know, new clean bedding, as well as all the utilities that we support at the hotel. And so with this deficit, we have been working with the state and advocating with the state to look at how they're prioritizing funding. We have secured 6 months of funding with Oregon Community Housing Services in response to our deficit. And we are really, really proud Douglas County residents here, as Nikki Messenger, our Roseburg City Manager, and our county commissioners have also stepped up and have shared with us how they feel like our services are so important and vital to the safety of our community that they have also contributed funding to fill the deficit. And so while we still have a little ways to go, we are still looking for about $100,000 to fill that deficit. We feel supported and hopeful that we will not have to lay off staff or close shelter beds.
So, I mean, $100,000 is a pretty substantial sum. Is there kind of a time frame that you need to come up with that?
Yeah, so over the next 6 months, we're looking at filling that deficit. We do have some leads on some competitive grant funding. We also have our really amazing annual fundraising event, which will be happening March 2nd this year. So our Empower dance event and vocals, which was formerly the BPA dance competition. So we'll be back at Seven Feathers. But we also have campaigns throughout the year for people to give, like our holiday campaign. And we also encourage people, if they would like to support our services, you can donate every month through like Bill Pay or one of our fundraising platforms.
So the shift that the state made, was this anticipated or did it kind of come as a bit of a surprise?
So it was a surprise. I can certainly welcome Jordan to talk a little bit more about the executive order from the governor. But in 2020-21, there was funding prioritized for Project Turnkey, which is the funding that supported the purchase of the hotel. There were legislative dollars, and Oregon Community Foundation also supported that project. So there was an understanding that while all of these sites were developing sustainability plans and looking at how to maintain these shelters moving forward, that there was a plan to continually give for a few years with, I think all of us were expecting some cuts. But there was some shift in the communication from the state that those funds, they're having a difficult time trying to disperse those in a way that's thoughtful and timely. And as part of that shift versus giving us an allocation for the population we serve, they're making the process competitive.
Mm-hmm. And as part of the more recent executive order, the one that we started seeing some shifts in the work that was being led to lead to Project Turnkey and our hotel shelter model with Peace at Home, the state did use point in time count data that spanned across communities in Oregon from 2017 onward. So in order for a community to qualify under the more recent executive order, they had to have an increase of unsheltered homelessness of 50% or greater since the 2017 point in time count data. And that timeline does transcend, you know, the pandemic impacts of shelter and housing stabilization in our community. So although we have seen an increase in need for shelter here in Roseburg, the data timeline that the state was really looking at in order to push forward with this executive order, unfortunately, Roseburg doesn't qualify in the same way that other communities across the state that have the 50% or more increase since 2017.
And most of those counties are not Almore rural mm-hmm. communities.
Mm-hmm. So essentially more of the money is going to the urban areas and less is going to the rural areas?
Yeah, and what's also come out of that executive order is more money has been focused on opening new shelter beds, and there has been less money designated to maintaining successful shelters that are currently running, and some other projects as well, like warming centers.
Mm-hmm. And have you talked to the area lawmakers about this situation? What are you hearing from that?
Yeah, so Jorda and I have both been meeting with advocates who around the state are informing legislators and the governor. Many of us have put together groups to be able to continue to provide education to the governor about the impacts on cuts in funding and also how these programs have been very, very successful. So, for example, just in the last year, we served 132 people, so that's 79 households in 1 year, and 57% of those folks now live in permanent stable housing. So we've been communicating that information as well to really support those programs who are showing great outcomes.
All right, we're going to talk more about this in a moment. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. 1247 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1250 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Apparently a big accident on Interstate 5 northbound. Traffic is backed up, I guess, from Roseburg clear up back to Winston at this point, and folks are being told to avoid Interstate 5 northbound for the foreseeable future in that area. So we'll let you know more once we find out more. From Peace at Home Advocacy Center, the Executive Director, Melanie Premer, and Board Chair Jordan Jungworth, and talking about this issue with the state of Oregon and funding. So essentially, if I understand this right, the emphasis is really being placed on getting new facilities up and running, but not necessarily on keeping existing ones running. Does that sound right?
That's correct, Kyle. And so while there is some funding set aside for the whole state, it's $24 million to sustain shelters that already exist in Oregon that are specifically Project Turnkey, which is converting hotels across the state and navigation centers and a few other shelter programs as well.
So it sounds like you've got a bit of a challenge not just for Peace at Home, but for a lot of other similar organizations in rural areas.
Yeah, so many of these organizations are having to make hard decisions about laying off staff and potentially closing shelter beds and other services. And so I know that our board and staff have been having those conversations for the last several weeks. Again, like I'd mentioned earlier, we are really hopeful that we would not have to lay off staff or close shelter beds at this time. Thank you to our county commissioners and Nikki Messenger, the city of Roseburg city manager.
So at that point, if you close a shelter in a rural area, is it not possible that some of those folks impacted will end up going someplace where there is one?
Yeah, so we were just talking, right, about advocating at the state level and educating them about the impacts. And this was one of the conversations that I had a couple of weeks ago was, how do I knock on someone's door who has been courageous enough to leave an abusive relationship, to come into shelter only to tell them that I may have to close their bed. And they potentially may have left a relationship where they are at risk of being murdered. And maybe their options now would be to return to that relationship or live on the streets with their children, which may be equally as dangerous, and all these other consequences happen from living on the streets cracked, like not being able to be protective of your children, the weather, finding employment while you're living on the street, all these things that are impacting folks that find stability when living in our hotel shelter model.
Or to uproot your life even further in the midst of all that chaos and go to an urban area where you've got a better shot at getting in a shelter.
Which I don't believe that's true. We work with many domestic violence shelters around the state, and we tend to have a higher vacancy rate than some other shelters like Portland. You certainly cannot relocate for safety to a mm-hmm. different area. With that perspective that we may have more vacancies, our vacancy looks like maybe a room is available for a couple of hours. We can fill that mm-hmm. room very quickly. And so I think that that's something that the Navigation Center, which Jordan can talk about as well. Last time I called the Navigation Center to find out if they could mm-hmm. potentially house someone for us, the waiting list was 117 people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think to your point, Kyle, you know, and what we were talking about earlier with the data and some of the funding going to more urban areas, the need in those urban areas is greatly different than ours here. But that's not to say that our need hasn't also grown. So to your question about access in Portland or Eugene or Medford, you know, there's still going to be those wait lists and delays. They might even be longer than here. But at the same time, the challenge that we're having locally is that our need has also increased, but not enough to qualify us for those additional funds. So, you know, to the executive order's intent, you know, statewide, there's a housing and homelessness issue. And there's so many wrapped up challenges that we're experiencing, and we're trying to sort it out on the local level the best we can. But the best we can do is also share the stories with the state.
So a couple minutes left. What else do people need to know about this situation or how they could possibly help?
Yeah, I think folks could get involved now by contributing to Peace at Home. You could go to our website at peaceathome.com. We also just posted on Facebook our holiday campaign. Volunteering is always a great option, and you can call us at 541-957-0288. And also just educating your friends and family about what's happening across the state and within our own community.
And going into the holiday period, which appears to be starting here momentarily, do you see a request for help? Does that tend to go up during the holidays with the kind of the relationship stress?
Yeah, I think stress definitely makes it more like there are just additional challenges for survivors being able to leave a situation when there are all these other significant stresses. And it's definitely difficult trying to think about where you would go, especially if you do not have family and friends that you can stay with. And just sort of thinking about how do you manage all this additional stress on top of trying to make a decision to exit a relationship. Mm-hmm. So I would say that some people may stay in those relationships a little bit longer to be able to come up with a thoughtful safety plan to exit. I'm not sure if most people know this, but it becomes more dangerous when you leave an abusive relationship. That is more common. It's definitely more common when you're pregnant and you leave a relationship. You're 4 times more likely to be at risk of murder. And so coming up with a thoughtful safety plan is vital.
If people need help, how do they contact Peace at Home?
Yeah, you can contact us on our crisis line, which is 541-673-7867, or take a look at our services at peaceathome.com.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You're listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.